This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
Friendly neighborhood atheist, godless, heathen, hell-bent agnostic. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio, the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest association of freethinkers. That means atheist, agnostic, skeptic, non-believer. And we also work as a state church watchdog. Today is July 16th, 2011, and I hope today, you will join us in our work. This broadcast is originating from the Madison, Wisconsin, and we are broadcasting also in Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Monterey, New York City, and of course, podcasting. And you may have noticed I'm flying solo today. Neither God nor Dan Barker is my co-pilot. Unfortunately, Dan is having a recurrence of kidney stones that felled him earlier this year, his third bout this year. He has two stones remaining. I don't know if he'd want me to go into all the particulars, but I do hope that he'll soon be convalescing and be back with us. And that will be with the help of modern medicine and copious amounts of lemonade, which is what the doctors are all prescribing these days instead of cranberry juice for kidney stones. And Dan told me to tell you that he's cursing the so-called intelligent designer right now. And I am really pleased that we will have as a guest today one of our legal interns this summer, and she is in the studio and going to keep me company. She's one of four summer legal interns, Taylor Myers. She's a very bright young philosophy major who is a senior at Holyoke, and she's going to join me in the second half of today's program to talk about what she's doing at for FFRF and about her atheist views and so on. And in fact, we'll have a little clip of a radio show that she was featured on in Stanford this week. And she's also been involved in protesting Governor Rick Perry's over-involvement in the huge prayer rally that he called for Reliance Stadium August 6th. And that's going to be a big part of today's news segment. Also coming up, we'll be playing a clip of an interview of Matthew Chapman. We've had him on Free Thought Radio, and you may remember he is the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin, and he is the director of a new movie, The Ledge, with an atheist protagonist. So there'll be a bit more about that later. And I do want to return now to what's going on with Governor Rick Perry. And I am delighted to announce that FFRF on Wednesday of this week filed a very fascinating federal challenge in Houston, basically asking Governor Perry to cease and desist from his actions as governor in an official capacity to initiate, organize, promote, and participate in the prayer rally that he scheduled August 6th for the Reliance Stadium. And we have talked about that before. We have played his video welcome. We've told you that he has a big letter, at the website of the response, which is publicizing the prayer rally. Everybody's been complaining about this and talking about it, but FFRF is actually going to go to court over it. And we are asking for a restraining order as well to rescind Governor Perry's proclamation. He had a proclamation for a day of prayer and fasting on August 6th. He already published it. He plans to read it at the stadium. On behalf of our 700 Texas members, we are taking this lawsuit. We have five Houston plaintiffs as local plaintiffs. They are members of our group, Case Daly, who was honored as a Freethinker of the Year in the past because she took and won a lawsuit in Houston removing a huge Bible monument on the steps of the Houston courthouse where they would put the Bible under glass and move the pages, and she stopped that. We also have Scott Weitzenhofer, Wilfred Lyon, Stacy Gonzalez, and Kristen Ames joining us. All of the plaintiffs and FFRF are asking the federal court to declare unconstitutional Governor Perry's organization and promotion and initiation of this August 6th prayer rally. And we would point out some of the things that he has done. He has this open invitation to fellow Americans to join him and other praying people in asking God's forgiveness, wisdom, and provision for our state and nation. Perry said, "There is hope for America. It lies in heaven, and we will find it on our knees." Needless to say, the members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation think if there is any hope for America, it is in using our brains and our reason. We will not find it on our knees. We will change things with compassionate action. And he also tells people that the only way that our nation is going to survive is if God helps us, that we need divine guidance. And in fact, this comes through Jesus. So it's a very sectarian, pervasively sectarian message of evangelical Christianity. It's using the mission statement of the American Family Association, which is a very rabidly evangelical far-right Christian group. He has recorded radio commercials for the AFA and for this event, as well as videos. And he is telling all citizens, you know, what they should do. So our lawsuit is asserting that Perry is acting unconstitutionally. He is working hand in glove with a Christian right group in a way that puts FFRF at a competitive disadvantage because, you know, he is preferring religion over non-religion and Christianity over other forms of religion. And we do always say at our office, beware prayer by pious politicians. We asked to put that saying up on a billboard near the Reliant Stadium, and a major billboard company turned us down. They said not only could we not put that message up near the Reliant Center, we could not put that on any billboard they owned in the whole city of Houston. It would be hate language, and we could put up something else that wasn't relevant. So we put that in our legal complaint, pointing out that there is a very chilling effect. The power of government, once it is aligned with religion, does chill dissent, and this kind of censorship by this billboard company toward us and our attempt to publicly make a statement against Perry shows that power. And so we do think it would be very interesting to see what will happen. We will be asking for the restraining order in a couple of days. We don't yet know what judge has it, but we'll know that soon. And we hope things will heat up there in Houston. And for a little bit of a sound clip, what we want to play now is last week we played Governor Perry's videotape welcoming people to this prayer rally, inviting them to attend. And People for the American Way had some fun with that. They took the video and Perry's words, and then they juxtaposed it with a series of clips from the religious right co-sponsors of the August 6th prayer event. And that really reveals what the Christian right agenda is all about.
This is Governor Rick Perry, and I'm inviting you to join your fellow Americans in a day of prayer and fasting on behalf of our nation.
I believe that homosexuals are morally disqualified from holding public office. Why? Because they are engaging in sexually aberrant behavior.
As an elected leader, I'm all too aware of government's limitations when it comes to fixing things that are spiritual in nature.
And the Lord says, I'm going to start targeting elections. And the Lord would say, they will see if they resist who I am, that I'm going to move them out, and I'm going to move my people in, says the Lord.
That's where prayer comes in, and we need it more than ever.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist. I believe that one of the main pastors, as a forerunner to the harlot movement, it's not the harlot movement yet, it's Oprah.
With the economy in trouble, communities in crisis, and people adrift in a sea of moral relativism.
Talking about people who are committed to a radical homosexual agenda, they have been able to link up with a number of other groups. And the result is that it's almost like an antichrist spirit.
We need God's help.
Those who came founded Israel. Those who did not went through the hell of the Holocaust. Then God sent a hunter. A hunter is someone who comes with a gun and he forces you. Hitler was a hunter. How did it happen? Because God allowed it to happen. Why did it happen? Because God said, my top priority for the Jewish people is to get them to come back to the land of Israel.
That's why I'm calling on Americans to pray and fast like Jesus did, and as God called the Israelites to do in the book of Joel.
If we stand before God and He says, why did you vote for a leader who's attempting to redefine my institution of marriage and who kills the unborn children that I knew before they were in the womb? If He asks us that, and our answer is, because that leader was good on jobs and the economy, He's not going to accept that.
I sincerely hope you'll join me in Houston on August the 6th and take your place in Reliance Stadium with praying people, asking God's forgiveness, His wisdom and provision for our state and nation.
Our nation was founded on violence.
In 2010, you would urge that as an option, though?
The option is on the table.
To learn more, visit theresponseusa.com. Then make plans to be part of something even bigger than Texas.
So you heard Governor Perry's voice from this video invite to his August 6th prayer rally, juxtaposed with, and I'm going to read in order, Brian Kishiff with the American Family Association. And as many of our listeners would know, they are very hostile to non-believers, non-Christians, and particularly gays and lesbians. You heard Cindy Jacobs with the General International, another co-sponsor of this event. Mike Bickle of the International House of Prayer, and I'm not making up that title. Jim Garlow with Skyline Wesleyan Church. The infamous John Hagee of Cornerstone Church. Good old David Barton of Wall Builders, who is heavily involved in the event. And Stephen Broken of Park Bible Church. And so again, FFRF is announcing a federal lawsuit to block Governor Prayer from continued participation in this unconstitutional government-sponsored prayer event. And we find distasteful his misuse of his civil office to plan and dictate a religious course of action to all citizens. It's deeply offensive to many citizens, as well as to our secular form of government. We're trying to do something about it. Again, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, solo hosting today. Freedom from Religion Foundation will be right back for a change of pace to learn more about Matthew Chapman's movie, The Ledge, with an atheist protagonist.
This is Cal Hudson from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm an out-of-the-closet atheist, and I listen to Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, co-president of the Freedom from Religion Foundation. My usual co-host, Dan Barker, felled by kidney stones. Hopefully he'll be back next week. Now we want to talk about something more fun, which is The Ledge, the movie The Ledge, which just debuted about a week ago in New York City and several other spots, directed by the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin, Matthew Chapman, whom we've had on Free Thought Radio, and he's promised to come back and talk, but he's kind of on a movie tour right now. And so what we have to play is an interesting interview of Matthew Chapman by CNN.
The Ledge. It's a movie about faith, love, and religion, but don't expect the Christian in this film to be your good guy. How about an atheist as your hero?
What did God do to you to make you so angry at him? Look at the world that he created. All the beauty, you know, wars and plagues and genocides and earthquakes and tidal waves. And then, after all that suffering, what does your God do next? He sends most of us to hell.
Matthew Chapman wrote and directed this film with the hope that atheists would come out of the closet and be proud and Christians would apologize for being so judgmental. Matthew, you're an outspoken atheist. Why'd you make this film and why now?
Well, I mean, there hasn't been anything like this before, and I've traveled a lot in the Midwest and the South, and seen a lot of people like Joe, the fundamentalist, in the film. And I've never seen a portrayal of that kind of a character put in conflict with someone who shares my beliefs, which are that, you know, there probably isn't any God, and we need to think about, you know, reality and life in a rational, humane way, and that life would probably be better if we behaved that way.
And it's obvious in the film you are questioning faith. Let's roll another shot, and I got another question for you.
You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is your only entrance requirement.
Okay, so the Hebes, the Hindus, the Muslims, the atheists, the Buddhists, all damned, right?
They have to accept Jesus Christ.
And the Catholics, because they're not born again, right?
Right.
We've looked at two clips now. Obviously, one is about why do bad things happen to good people? And then as we heard from this one, too, if you don't accept Jesus, you go to hell. What about everybody else? You know, these two topics, these debates, are nothing new. So, you know, what differentiates your movie from anything else that's been out there that sort of debates the issue of atheism?
Well, first of all, I would say that there haven't been a lot of discussions like this. Second of all, it's a thriller. I mean, it opened in Russia, for example, on 200 screens. It did better than Thor. It came in only in third place to Pirates of the Caribbean and Kung Fu Panda. So it's a very entertaining movie. Whether you are interested in the underlying message or not.
Yeah, well, why do you think that is? Do you think it's because it's a thriller and these are some incredible actors? Or do you think it's the issue of atheism and the fact that the hero in this film is an atheist?
I think it's a bit of both. And I think that the things that we've seen happen in the last 10 years as a result of faith, whether it be on the very extreme end where you have people flying planes into buildings, or whether it's the break that religion has put on social progress for gay people and women and women's rights, I think people are a little fed up with religion being this constant naysayer, the constant pulling back of progress. And I'm kind of hopeful that people will look at this film and say, you know, maybe there's a better way of looking at life than referring to books that were written in the Bronze Age.
But is a better way at looking at life being an atheist? I mean, the numbers are still so low. It's like 3-4% of people or Americans are atheists or agnostic. Why are you still an atheist?
Well, what,
that's a loaded question, isn't it?
I mean, once you become an atheist, it's kind of, I think, rather hard to go back. I mean, I always say that if you took away all of the bad things that you had in religion, all of the problems that religion causes to gay people, to women, to infidels, as all religions find a way of calling other religions infidels, if you took away all of those problems, you removed all of the violence, it would still be rather like having a 40-year-old person wandering around who believed in Father Christmas. It's all perfectly harmless, but is that the kind of person you want, for example, running the country? And I don't know if you know this, but the figures for the likelihood of an atheist becoming a presidential winner are 45%. 45% of Americans wouldn't even consider voting for an atheist presidential candidate. 55% would consider voting for a gay person. More people would consider voting for a Muslim. So you're right, it's a very unpopular viewpoint to have. But what can you do? If you believe it, you believe it.
A winning interview by Matthew Chapman on CNN about his movie The Ledge, purchasable now on iTunes and other venues. I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Rethought Radio. We'll be right back to talk with a very bright young atheist student doing great work as a legal intern for FFRF this summer.
Hi, my name is Amanda from Des Moines, Iowa. I get all my books from FFRF, and I'm on Freethought Radio.
Hello, Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and Dan is not my co-pilot today, but he will be back as soon as he recovers. And I'm delighted to have in studio, it's a rare treat really to have a guest in studio with us, our legal intern, Taylor Myers. She is entering her senior year at Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. She is a double major, philosophy and music, and she co-founded the Mount Holyoke Freethinkers, Atheists, and Questioners, ACA, the FAQ, she says, so that irreligious people could have a safe place. And she very much impressed our office when she sent us an email early in the year saying, I'd like to come and work for free for you this summer as a legal intern. And we're delighted to have her as one of four legal interns. And she's an undergrad, but she's been working right along with all of the law students that we have, too, and taking some important complaints for us. And so welcome to the show, Taylor.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming and working for FFRF for free. I wanted to say what prompted that.
Well, FFRF has always been one of my favorite separation of church state watchdog groups. I am very familiar with, you know, all of the publications and all of the work that comes to the separation of church and state field. And I have just always been drawn to, you know, Madison and just the feel of FFRF, because it I just feel like it just gets a lot of work done. I was in New Orleans. My family has a house in New Orleans, and this was about 2 summers ago. And we were driving through town, and, you know, it was in the South, so we were, you know, being approached by a lot of religion at the time. And we were driving through downtown, and we saw this big billboard that said, Imagine No Religion, Thank You, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I said, I want to work there.
Wow, that's so really cool.
Yeah.
That's that you saw that.
Yeah.
We played some of the TV coverage when that happened on Free Thought Radio, but I didn't realize you had seen it in person.
Yep.
Good. You, by coincidence, you not only featured on this show today, but you're on a radio show. We're on a radio show early in the week out of Stanford, Philosophy Talks, and that aired last Sunday and Tuesday. And why don't you tell us how you happened to get onto that radio show?
My school is hosting a philosophy conference in May, and they knew that they were going to be hosting the radio show at the school. And they asked the chair of the philosophy department, who happens to be my advisor, they asked him for articulate atheists who would like to speak. And I received his email asking me if I wanted to come and speak, and didn't realize that the other speaker was going to be a professor. And I was very nervous about that because I felt very out of my league, but it turned out not too bad.
Well, we have a clip of you. And there's another, is it an atheist professor? Or
yes, he's actually my thesis advisor.
Oh, okay. So there's both of you being interviewed on Philosophy Talks.
In this country, most of us are brought up with some kind of religion.
I was raised Southern Baptist.
My parents were religious to a certain extent.
Well, my dad's family is Catholic, but my mom's family was not as religious.
I was raised like culturally Jewish, but we didn't like go to temple very often, and I didn't have a bat mitzvah.
But then there are people like Taylor Myers, a philosophy student at Mount Holyoke College. She remembers one time she went to an art museum with her mother.
I said, who is the guy in all these pictures? And it was Jesus, obviously, but like, I didn't have any Bible study. I've never had anything to do with that. I mean, I knew who Jesus was, but I had no idea that that was what I was looking at.
Meyer says her father was almost anti-religious, and she was raised an atheist.
I mean, I remember picture books when I was little, you know, that were like, what about gods? And it was all of like a secular viewing of what gods are for children. And it's awesome. I mean, I look back at these books now and I'm like, I'm going to give my kids these books. These are awesome.
On any college campus, it's not hard to find an atheist, but many disbelievers say they feel like they're part of a minority or like they're missing out on something everyone else has. Take Mount Holyoke professor Sam Mitchell.
I see other people and I see the role that religion plays in their lives. It seems to give them great comfort and happiness. And I see that I don't have that.
Mitchell was raised Christian, so when he declared his atheism in college, his parents figured it would pass.
They were not happy. They thought it was a phase, and actually they're less happy about it now because it's clearly not a phase.
At first, Mitchell says he tried proselytizing to gain acceptance.
And so I would tell pretty much everybody at any remotely available opportunity. And one of my friends said that I was an evangelical atheist.
So he stopped. And over the years, Mitchell says he's discovered that declaring his atheism upsets people or makes them feel foolish for believing in God. So now he'll say things like, I have no religion.
Which sounds so mealy-mouthed when I reflect upon it, but it tends to make life go a little more pleasantly for everybody concerned.
Myers, on the other hand, has a kind of youthful excitement about her lack of religious conviction. She admits she sometimes feels like religion is pushed on her.
You know, it's on the dollar bill, and God we trust. It's in front of courthouses, the Ten Commandments, and, you know, we say the Pledge of Allegiance, and, you know, we're one nation under God, and it's just like, we're not, though. We're one nation that, you know, some people think we might be under God, but not necessarily.
Myers formed the Free Thinkers, Atheists, and Questioners, a secular group that meets to talk about religion. They discuss things like how to lead a moral life without believing in God.
You know, I think that you can be a good person and still be an atheist, because I don't think that it has anything to do, like the two things don't have anything to do with each other. Just because you don't believe in God, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't have morals or that you're a bad person.
She says she tries to live by some version of the Golden Rule. And it works. She doesn't drink or do drugs. She doesn't cheat. She's kind to her friends.
You know, I'm not going to do to someone else what I wouldn't want done to me. And I don't think that initiated with the Bible. I think you can see that in Hammurabi's code. I think you can see that way before the Bible was written.
That was Taylor Myers. And we have Taylor Myers in our studio today. I'm Annie Lorgeller interviewing her. And she is one of our legal interns. We're very pleased and lucky to have her working for us this summer. And you're also featured in an upcoming Meet an Intern interview that we're running in Freethought today. And I noticed, this is like a sneak preview here, that you said the last religious member of your family is your grandmother. And what does she say to you when she sees you?
Oh, it's almost every time she sees me, because that's how grandmothers are. When are you getting baptized? When can we baptize you? I think that she almost had to have a surprise baptism at my cousin's wedding, which was, she talked about it, but it never really came to fruition. It's an ongoing topic in our family and has led to some heated debates between her and my father, who is non-religious. I have yet to be baptized. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
With soap, baptism is a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's Robert Ingersoll. So maybe you should offer her a debaptism certificate, but I'm sure you want to keep peace in your family.
Oh, yeah. She's not very happy about my decisions to be an immoral, godless heathen.
Now, before we turn to the work that you've been doing for FFRF, why don't you talk a little bit more about what it's like? We have this new section in our whole library has been turned into a legal team section. What's it like working up there?
It's a lot of fun, actually. Every time Dan Barker comes in, he says, you know, it's so quiet in here. But, you know, he comes in the quietest times because it's always really, you know, it's always fun. We're always finding things that are just completely outlandish because our line of work, I mean, hey, it is.
Researching state church violations, you mean?
Yeah, we do a lot of researching for the complaints that we receive. And, you know, the complaints themselves can be kind of, you know, not crazy, but they are in themselves kind of a fun way to look at the entire church state issue. And we have some really funny stories about websites that we found, you know, little tiny towns in the middle of nowhere that, you know, have a church state violation. We have to go look at their website, and they're just, I mean, we have some fun games. Who can find the funniest city website?
And I noticed Bill Dunn, our editor, has this question, things that I like, and you write a lot of things. And one of them was, wasn't it, am I right, towns that put their address and phone number on the homepage?
Yeah.
Well, I'm with you on that. When you're looking up information from the government because you need to write a letter of complaint, you can spend a lot of time, can't you, researching it? Well, so we want to come back in a minute. I'm Annie Lurie-Gaylor talking with Taylor Myers in studio with us. And she's been doing a lot of work. One of her specialties turns out to be Governor Rick Perry. And she's also got some interesting issues going in Wisconsin with our Governor Scott Walker and with President Barack Obama. So stay tuned to learn more about that.
Hi, this is August Berkshire, and I'm the president of Minnesota Atheists, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Lurie-Gaylor.
And it is just I today, Annie Lurie, and I have in studio with me one of our four legal interns this summer, Taylor Myers, and we've been talking with her about her own atheism and how she came to disbelieve as she believes. And now we want to talk, Taylor, more about the work you've been doing at FFRF. And specifically, do you want to say something about, you got out the draft of the original letter of complaint to Governor Rick Perry. What do you think about that situation?
Well, it was kind of funny because it came out actually like my second or third day of work. And, you know, Rebecca Markert, our staff attorney, called me into her office and she says, this guy, this crazy, you know, down in Texas is, you know, he's declaring a day of fasting and prayer. It's all over the place. And at that time, it was so new that I couldn't really find anything on it, and there was no news on it, and I was like, I don't think this is a thing. So it took us a long time, but eventually I had a slew of articles about how, you know, this is just a horrible church-state violation. He's using his government office to promote this day of prayer and fasting. And it's just, to me,
it's not the typical even day of prayer kind of proclamation or some aside by an official. It's as Patrick Elliott, our other staff attorney, put it, it's really unprecedented the degree of that it was his idea and he's working in tandem with these Christian evangelical groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's calling himself the initiator of it, and they're actually using social media sites, you know, and they have a really really cool looking website to promote this event, and it's just, to me, it's offensive because it says right on the website they're only having a Christian prayer. You know, it's not as if they're including everyone who can pray, which I mean wouldn't be much better, but they are just
so you're here getting to witness FFRF going to court on it, so that's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun to see the whole thing through. You know, most of our complaints from people reporting church state violations don't get that far. You know, it always ends kind of with a either a stalemate or a victory. And it's kind of a lot of fun to see the whole legal process happen.
Yeah, and this litigation's being handled by our primary litigation attorney with Boardman Law Firm, Richard Bolton, and then he's working with counsel in Houston on that. And you can find the legal complaint and all the documents up at ffrf.org/news. Now tell us, why are you drafting a letter of complaint to Barack Obama?
Well, it's not a letter of complaint to Barack Obama. It's a letter of notification to Barack Obama. He, his presidential seal was placed on the website of a group called the Leadership Development, which you may better know as the Family or the Fellowship, a shadowy theocratic cabal, as Annie Lurie so graciously put it in a letter. They are they're about as intertwined as religion and politics should never be. So they used his presidential seal on the website for a national prayer breakfast.
Which they hold every February, yeah. And which the president usually attends, and members of Congress and military and despots everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're quite powerful. It's scary.
So you're notifying Barack Obama that about this misuse of his seal. We hope that he doesn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me, that the president will do something about it once he knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are writing Governor, you are drafting a letter of complaint to Governor Scott Walker, which is going out this week. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that's about.
Well, we received a complaint about it was from a woman who had been looking for pregnancy options or options for her pregnancy on the Wisconsin.gov website. And unfortunately, she found no information other than don't get an abortion and abstinence-only education.
And then there's a link to a group called, mm-hmm. what is that?
It's called CareNet, and it's a overtly Christian group that the violation is in the fact that Wisconsin.gov, a government-sponsored website, is linking to a group that has just, they list Bible quotes, and their mission statement is all about Jesus and God and praying, and I really, if I were an expectant mother in the state of Wisconsin, I would feel very, very isolated.
And so it's not just that it's anti-abortion, but it's one of these pervasively sectarian mm-hmm. Christian groups. And then you did find, in doing research, you found this kind of lame disclaimer, which we've decided means nothing, right? Where
oh, yeah.
They said, gee, if we link to some other website, doesn't mean that we're endorsing it, mm-hmm. but we beg to differ, don't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that any ties that the government has to this, it would be an endorsement of the organization.
Because you go to a government website for bona fide information, mm-hmm. and there you find a link to this group. You think you're going to get information, and mm-hmm. you don't realize it's propaganda, religious propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also found out some that there really isn't any factual information about legal abortion at the website mm-hmm. of the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. And not only that, it's there is a policy called the Brighter Futures Initiative, which promotes an abstinence-only education for teenagers and for premarital couples. And I mean, again, I don't know the statistics, but that's certainly not the best way to go about preventing pregnancy.
So in other words, there's not information about bona fide birth mm-hmm. control at the state of Wisconsin website.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we know this is a radical change since Governor Scott Walker became governor in January. When he became governor, he had religious services. He said he made a public statement, there's freedom of religion, there's not freedom from religion. So we are dealing with a evangelical Christian governor here in the state of Wisconsin. So there seems to be a common message here. We have a lot of evangelical Christianity merging with the state, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that can never equal a good thing. So,
And so some of the other things you've been doing are lots of research?
Yeah, I research. I work primarily for Rebecca Markert, one of the staff attorneys. And she has me, you know, if she needs something researched, I can obviously do the best I can. And then I'm drafting letters. We have a follow-up letter system where if an official doesn't get back to us, which is extremely common. We have to kind of pester them a little bit more. So I'm getting very good at that.
Yes, you are. Now, just for the remaining minute or so, just tell us some more about how you started this campus group and why. What's the name again?
We are the Mount Holyoke Freethinkers, Atheists, and Questioners, the MHFAQ, or affectionately known as my godless heathen friends. we fill a void that didn't really have a place at Mount Holyoke. Basically, there is a ton of religious diversity at our school. You know, we have all sorts of different religious groups on campus, but we didn't have a group that was explicitly, you know, I don't want to say anti-religion because we don't really go from that angle. We go from a place to talk about religion and about the lack of religion and the discrimination against people who don't believe.
And as you put it, a safe place.
Yeah, it is a safe place to promote dialogue. And you know what, we have had Christians, and we have girls who used to be Muslims and used to be Jewish, and they come in, and we even have people who are still practicing. I think the only one that we have is a practicing Christian, but we are very very diverse, and we do like that a lot.
So you're still the director of this?
Yeah, I'm the co-president. The other president is Alice Obar. She was in Senegal this semester, so I kind of took that over.
And how many students do you have belonging to this club?
Well, we have a board of about 7 people, and then we usually have an attendance of our dialogues of about 10, or, you know, a little bit under. It depends. Our largest was 14, but we just were founded.
Well,
last
maybe
year.
You should ask Dan to come and do a debate or something. Oh. He'd love that.
Oh, we're looking forward to the convention in Hartford.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, good. Well,
we're,
we'll see
we're
you
about
again,
half an hour.
We're going to miss you.
Yeah.
Well, we'll probably put you to work.
Yeah, I know.
As helping at the sales table. Well, it's delightful to have you as part of our office.
Thank you very
summer.
Much.
Thank you for joining us on Free Thought Radio. I've been talking with Taylor Myers. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we also want to thank our producer and engineer, Brian Turani, our announcer, Buzz Kemper. You can go to ffrf.org/radio for archives of Free Thought Radio, or you can sign up for the podcast. And I invite you to join FFRF. It will support our legal work. You can join us or ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Ask for a sample issue of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, and tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday